The sermon outline in your bulletin is there by way of homework. We're not going to go over it today. Kind of pulled that sermon kind of last night, kind of this morning, a little bit of a process. So we're aware we have guests here, and we are a celebrative church, and we're a reverent church, and we're celebrative now, though there has been a number of folks that have passed away and recently, and families go through seasons, and churches go through seasons, and sometimes it just seems to be wise to break away from a planned sermon series and just go to something topical because of the life of the nation or because of the life of the church or just kind of some big important thing that's going on. And it just seems that we've gone through some pretty, very, very serious times of grief in a number of our couples and families. And today it seemed to be appropriate for me to gather together. What happens in these times is this just Rolodex of scriptures that just come flooding into my heart and mind. So I've made some attempt last night and this morning to put them together, hopefully in somewhat of an orderly way. So that's what we're going to do today. I apologize, there is no sermon outline because of that. I've got a lot of scriptures, and you can just jot them down, or you can just go to the MP3 file online, or ask Sandy for the front office for a CD, and go through that and study the scriptures in context on your own. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for great grace today. We thank you for the cross that makes all the difference today. You created every person here. You created our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, our friends. And you created all of us with an eternal perspective and an eternal purpose. And you created us with the ability to receive love and to love. And you created us with the ability to process loss and grief, and many other facets you work in our lives now and eternally. We look to you, we trust you, work your work in every heart here, some going through an amazing period of just nothing but blessing. Thank you for their joy. And others going through quite a bit of challenge with grief and loss, and as a family, as a church family, we weep with those who weep, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. We're so happy for those that have almost nothing but just straight joy in their lives. At the same time, we cry with those who are experiencing the unbelievable pain that comes from loss. Work your perfect growing balance, Christ-like balance in our hearts, we pray. May this this group of scriptures be part of how you do that, Father, in us and through us one to the other. Our hearts are focused on you. Have your way in us. Bring your healing and joy and peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life is about love. That's the two great commandments in the Bible, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the direction of our lives, and to love one another. And Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. We are created to love, and the privilege to love and the privilege to experience love is an amazing thing that we can't put into words. It's beyond anything that can be described. It's absolutely glorious to love and to be loved. However, with love, because of a fallen world that we live in, comes the possibility of intense grief. Love is still worth it. Loss of a close loved one. And everybody's different. And we don't contrast one person to the other, and please don't contrast your experience, promise me that, with anybody else. We all go through these things in different ways. For some, the loss of a close loved one, especially a spouse of many, many, many years, decades, is absolutely excruciating. The heart is broken. There's intense sorrow and mourning. There's tears, it seems, without end, and the gut is actually wrenched. And you want to curl up and you want to die. That's grief. And that's for the strongest. That's for those who, that loved one, trusted Christ, and your trust in Christ, and you know you're going to be together one day because of the cross, but you still want to curl up and die. And that's grief. Others, not so much so. And that's grace. And you know, we're all different. Kind of begins with shock. It's not really real. You look for the other loved one wherever they may be, wherever you expect them to be. And then kind of anger kind of accompanies that shortly thereafter. Anger outwardly at the person didn't take care of themselves or made a mistake, or you know, other people, the doctors, the somebody. And then anger inwardly, if I only would have, coulda, shoulda. And then it just moves into a despair and kind of a phase that we commonly call bargaining. God, if you just take away the intensity of this pain, I will do anything. I just want to die right now. And then that gradually flows into, these can be cyclical, it gradually flows into sadness. It's not exact stages. Again, we can go back and forth between these things. And an intense sadness to a lighter sadness. And finally, acceptance, and a word I like, reinvesting. Because love is always worth it. And that's just a process. And again, it can be cyclical, back and forth. But gradually, if we have three things in our lives, the grief process will go through to a place of acceptance and reinvesting one's life. Some of us have lost parents. We've lost grandparents, spouses, children, grandchildren, siblings, close friends. In our congregation, Earl has lost Margaret recently. Eloise, Irv, Ann, losing Walt, Marilyn, Gary, Kit, losing Dale. And there might be others here, and I always I get in danger because I may not have remembered somebody, and I sincerely apologize. But this last week, on the same day, Mike and Jan lost their close daughter-in-law, Laquita. And after a long battle with cancer, and we grieve with them, and then the unthinkable has happened to Betty, where she has lost Bob, her husband, and less than a month ago, she lost her son, Greg. And I can't imagine. So
thought I got all the crying kind of done. Dick and Joyce, just a word of disclosure. We were together with Betty the night that Bob passed away, and I said that Karen and I are going to remain behind to pray. The truth is I needed to just remain behind to cry a little bit. And we did pray. Anyway, again, if you're a guest here, we don't mean this to be a downer. We're just real, you know. This is life in a fallen world, and we're real, and we cry, and we rejoice, and that's our lives. Again, to go through this, and boy, I sure apologize if I've left somebody out. To go through this, there's three things that need to be in our lives. I just want to boil it down to the basics right now. You know, one is a relationship with God. You got to have that. A relationship with a sovereign God. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what we celebrated with the Lord's Supper. That's Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, it means made righteous, completely forgiven by faith, we have peace with God. And that passage works its way into going through crazy hard times. But the beginning, the foundation is peace with God. This isn't the punishing hand of God. This is the gracious hand of God. And we think of Enoch. God didn't take Enoch because he was being punished or the family's being punished. And numerous others, really all the way through Scripture. Peace with God. That's number one, through the cross, through the gospel. Got to have that. Communion with God, knowing God's present, knowing God as a shepherd, knowing His healing power, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's what it feels like, the Lord is with me. You got to have that. You got to have that. And we're pleading with you right now, don't leave here until you solidify that relationship. Got to have that. And then second thing you got to have is community. You got to have other folks. There are those times where we get alone. When Jesus heard about John the Baptist's death, you know, he's God in humanness. He knows everything. What did he do? He went to be alone by himself. Don't tell me the Lord is so sovereign he doesn't feel anything. Lazarus's graveside, that verse that most kids memorize first because it's only two words, and it's some of y'all are smiling because this is your verse, right? Your first verse. Jesus wept. And several times in that passage, Jesus being deeply moved over the grief that was present there. So we do life in community. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then so you got to have a relationship with God through the cross, not merit, not religion, a relationship with God. Then number two is community. And we need to be that community and be developing that community all the more. You love each other, let's do it all the more before these things happen, because these are the things we need. It's hard to be with strangers when you're going through grief. You want to be with close, trusted friends. That takes community, that takes small groups, that takes doing life together. Amen? And then number three is truth, or let me use a better word, conviction. And I want to, if I could, give us seven convictions today that speak to these three needs. Conviction number one. Conviction is something that, it's in your core. It's the natural reaction because Scripture has been ingrained into the heart by the Lord. Conviction number one, Jesus conquered sin and death. It's beat. It's got to be a conviction. No ifs, ands, or buts. No hoping to be good enough to get into heaven. Jesus conquered sin and death. Not hoping the loved one was good enough to make it into heaven. He's trusted Christ. She's trusted Christ as Savior and Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. a passage we went through a while back when we were going through the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sting of death is sin. What is sin? Well, it's breaking the law. The power of sin is the law. So God's given to us laws, the two great laws, the 10 laws, hundreds of other laws. When we break those laws, that's sin, and the wages of sin is death. The sting of death is sin. But Jesus has defeated sin and given us the victory, and we are sure of that. The gospel, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, no matter who they are and what they've done. Place faith in Christ as Savior and Lord. That's a gift God gives to us, and you're on your way. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the, listen to these words, the glory of God. To be before God is a glorious thing. Pure, good. When I think of glory, I think of the character of God shining forth. Goodness. Think of Revelation 21. This is a scene still to come. It's not happening right now, but it gives us a picture of what things must be like right now. Revelation 21, the new heavens and the new earth. And there's a place, a city, and the glory, there's no need for sun or anything else. The glory of God illumines the place, always in His presence. All of sin had come short of being in that place, in the presence of the glory of God, and are justified, that means made righteous, forgiven and made righteous, as a gift, that means we don't earn it or deserve it, by His grace, that's unmerited love, through the redemption, that's Jesus buying us back from our rebellion, which is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, so number one, the absolute conviction that Jesus conquered sin and death. Amen? You've got to have that. Number two, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 gave us these words. For to me, this is my testimony, Paul saying, to the church in Philippi and to us today. From my perspective, for me, to live is Christ. Life is all about Christ. And therefore, to die is gain. I get to be actually in His presence. If I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And boy, some of these folks we mentioned, including Bob, I can't think of, you know, lives better spent than just in labor for the welfare of other people. You know, retirement is not about, I've earned it. I get to kick back and do whatever I want to do now. You know, it's about to our last dying breath. What can I do to serve God? What can I do to serve other people? You know, and it's just some of these folks on the list, again, including Bob and Laquita, I didn't know well and at all, really, but I just threw her through you all, and I'm sure her heart was the same. Man, just about serving others. So to live on in the flesh will be fruitful labor. I don't know which to choose. Not that it was, Paul's life was in the balance right now. Caesar could have killed him at any time. I have a desire to depart and, listen, be with Christ. That's always the focus. Not be in a nice place by myself. Be with Christ, for that's very much better. Right now, Betty, I made the statement, I think, yesterday. I don't see Betty. Is she in here? She's right over, okay. I made a statement to Betty yesterday that right now, this is the best day of Bob's life. And it is. But I can make the statement again today, this is the best day of Bob's life. And I can make the statement tomorrow, this is the best day of Bob's life. You know why? Because Bob is with an infinite Lord Jesus Christ that he'll never know totally. He's getting to know Him every day. He's in His presence. He's with God the Father that he'll never know totally. He knows Him way better than he knew Him here. But every day, God's character is infinite. These pitiful systematic theologies that we have, you know, the pages of the attributes of God. That's good. I mean, we want to study that in Scripture. Can you think of the systematic theology we'll be able to write when we're in heaven studying the character of God? Listen, face to face, getting to intimacy, getting to know Him better every single day. Therefore, the level of peace and love and joy gets better and better every day for all of eternity. Today is the best day of Laquita's life, and tomorrow will be better. And that's true for any boy or girl that's gone to be with the Lord as well. To be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. To die is gain. To be with Christ is very much better. What an understatement. Every day is better with Him. And so many other passages that would back to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, including Jesus' words to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me, today in paradise. Jude, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm just going to throw it out, is a great, chapter 4 and chapter 5, incredible passage, a second half of chapter 4 into the first 10 verses of chapter 5, an amazing study on the life to come, on when we go to be with the Lord. And it has the phrase in it, to be absent from this body is to be, listen now, at home. I love that expression, at home. We're not home yet. We're aliens here. We're not home, and you know it. There's an uneasiness here. To be at home with the Lord. More about that in a moment. With the Lord. Jude, only one chapter in the book of Jude, verse 24. Listen now. He is able to keep you from stumbling while you're on this planet, though we go through grief, and to make you stand. That's an amazing concept. To make you, give you the ability to stand in His presence, or I should say, in the presence of His glory, blameless with great joy. To stand in the presence of the Lord, the presence of His glorious character, blameless, all sin removed, made righteous, with great joy. Heaven is not, one theologian put it this way, heaven is not a flash of incredible glory followed by an eternity of boredom. You know, some people picture, I mean, it's wild. It's to be in the presence of the glorious God and all of the glorious creations that He has made for eternity. To continue to be in His presence, learning of Him. And that learning is filled with great joy for all of eternity. And I would say every day is more joyous than the day before in the Lord's presence. We are with Him. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, face to face. Number three, to be absent from the body, number one, is to be at home with the Lord. But number two, to be absent from the body is to be with loved ones who have trusted Christ. And that's not a bad thing to think about. David's son, back in the Old Testament, this is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, David's son died after much prayer on David's part. And David said these words after his death, he is not able to come to me, but I will go to him. Under the Spirit of God, the big deal was, in David's writings, to be with the Lord, but also to be with that son one day. That son having the blessing of growing up, imagine, growing up in heaven. Or in the millennium, the thousand-year period after this age, or the new heaven and the new heavens and the new earth. And that's true of all loved ones. Yes, we will know one another. There's too many passages that state that's the case. Number four, we'll not only be with the Lord, we'll not only be with loved ones, but to be absent from the body is to be at home at last. at home at last, with the Lord, at home with loved ones. But I just want to make a separate point. We're going to be at home at last. Jesus said in John 14, the night before his death, don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus is telling, he's doing his own funeral service is what he's doing. He's fixing to leave the planet after dying on the cross, rising again, being around for 40 days. He's leaving the planet. So he's kind of doing his own funeral service. And he says this to folks gathered there at the Last Supper. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe or trust also in me. In my Father's house. Check that phrase out. My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. In my Father's house. God is totally in charge here, but he's allowed it to be corrupted by much sin, and we are not at home. We're aliens here, but we are going home if we've trusted Christ. To the Father's house, we're going home to a place prepared for you, each of us individually. Quita had likes and dislikes. Bob had likes and dislikes and interests. And so the others who have passed on, perfect preparation for them. They will find heaven over the top. Exciting and interesting, and the colors, this will be grayscale compared to the colors of heaven and the ability to perceive those colors. The sounds, is what the band did today, will be just like, you know, just again, sound like a transistor radio compared to the spectrum, the octaves and spectrums of sound that will be there. And then all of, you know, for Bob, all of the designs of all of this. I mean, it's just going to be over the top, but it's going to be perfectly designed for him. And for whoever your loved one who trusted Christ is, it's not that they're going to have to fit. They're going to be at home and given bodies where they can be in the glorious presence of God and be at home. And that home is a place of glory and honor and peace. We've been, last passage we were in is Romans chapter 2 as we're going through the book of Romans. And heaven is described in verse 10 of Romans 2. As glory and honor and peace. Glory, God's character permeating. It's just pure goodness as opposed to evil. Honor. Paul said this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, his last words, kind of his own funeral service. He said this, the time of my departure has come. He's writing to Timothy. He knows he's leaving. He knows he's going to be put to death at any moment by Caesar. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. This life is a fight. This life is a course that God's designed. I have kept the faith. In the future, listen, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award or gift to me on that day. Not only to me, but everybody who loves his appearing. The crown of righteousness, based on what we talked about last week in the book of Romans, what is that, perhaps? Righteousness, the gift of righteousness. We talked about when we trust Christ in the book of Romans, we talked about justification or being made righteous. When we trust Christ, all of our sin is placed on Jesus' account and was placed on his account back 2,000 years ago on the cross. And as a citizen of heaven, and as the ultimate citizen of the kingdom of God, every good, noble, courageous, righteous, perfect thing he's ever done, every award due to him is now given to us as a gift. That blows my mind. That's the gift of righteousness. That's what Laquita is that level of honor. I want you to hear me. That level of honor is what Laquita is experiencing. She was never honored perfectly on this planet. She was honored, but never perfectly. and certainly not by everybody. Bob, same way. Betty, incredibly honorable lady. But nothing like the level of honor that is in heaven. Pure honor. No disrespect. The desire of all of our hearts to be able to show that honor and receive that honor. Glory, honor, peace, shalom, fullness of life. It's a place of glory, honor, and peace. Our home is a place of worship. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 is just an example of worship in heaven. Singing the song of Moses, singing the song of the Lamb. Don't know what they are. Love to have those tunes here, Brian. You know what I'm saying? If you can get a hold of those. Songs of deliverance, songs of redemption. One of the songs goes something like this. I think when they put them together, they go, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of the nations, the peoples. Who will not fear you or reverence you and glorify your name? You alone are holy." This focus is always on God. "All the nations will come and worship before you. All of the peoples of the earth gathered before the Lord and with one another. Your righteous acts have been revealed." And Revelation is filled with the glorious worship that we will experience. It's a place of paradise. That's our home. Luke chapter 23, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, who didn't merit anything but trusted the Lord the best he could, "Today you will be with me in paradise." That's my home. Total paradise. It's a place of extravagant blessing. I want to believe the grandkids want to visit Papa, that's me, just for me. But I'm delusional, you know, okay, yeah. So what I do is I spoil them to the hilt. I have a license to do that, you understand. And the kids know it. They don't like it, but they know it. Nothing to do about it. And yet God knows how to, as the ultimate father, we come home, not here, home, and God knows how to spoil us to the hilt, but we don't get spoiled. Now, I don't know how that works, but here's a passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. "God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us." Imagine, even when we were in rebellion, God loved us. Listen, "great in love for us, even when we were dead in our rebellion." God loved us with a great love, even when we were totally wayward. And God, because of that love, made us alive, all of us who have trusted Christ, because God reached into our hearts, made us alive, raised us up with him, we're united to Jesus, seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places, we are in the mind of God in heaven even right now, united to Jesus, and we'll be there bodily one day with a body suited for that. In order that, and if you're a theologian, I think, you know, you, little note, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think, would denote some, and all of it, quite frankly, all the time when you see the saints in heaven, they have, you know, tongues and mouths and ability to wear crowns and clothes, and, you know, so there's some kind of a heavenly body right now, it seems like, not to be confused with the resurrection body when Jesus Christ comes back again. I don't want to get into all that, but we're not disembodied spirits, it appears, okay, not by any description that I can see, or almost any description I can see. So God, let me get verse 5. "Even when we were dead, God made us alive, raised us up, seated us with him in the heavenly places." That's in the mind of God. Listen now, here's what I wanted to get to. Verse 7. "In order that in the ages to come," why did God do all this? "In order that in the ages to come, for all of eternity, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ." God's plan is to be the ultimate papa. To show surpassing riches of grace in acts of kindness, the ultimate papa heart. I don't know how he does that and still grows us in Christ-likeness at the same time. I don't know, but he's God. But that's a purpose in the heart of God. Our home is a place of extravagant blessing, is the point. That was four of the 7 points due to the clock. I'm not going to deliver the next five. Next three, I'm sorry. Except to say that God is with us as a shepherd and brings healing. And Jesus gets it. We've talked about passages where Jesus gets it. And that we, again, need to be a healing community. We are, I believe, Crosspoint is a healing community. We can always grow. And it's nothing wrong, matter of fact, it's good and right for us to cry together, to rejoice together. We have that balance. We don't grieve as though others who have no hope, but we still grieve. Jesus grieved. The community grieves. And Jesus works and moves in us where we have that balance. In Acts chapter 8, not to leave out the Old Testament, so many passages there, but in the New Testament, Acts chapter 8, devout men, this is verse 2 of chapter 8 of Acts, devout men buried Stephen, he had just died, been murdered, and made loud lamentation over him together. They're devout believers. They know it's the best day of Stephen's life. And yet there's the grief of missing him. Acts chapter 20, verse 37. Together, when Paul said, you're not going to see me again. You know, my death is not a long ways away. You're not going to see me again. Acts chapter 20, verse 37. Together, the leadership, the elders, the godly people wept together that they would see him no more. And yet they knew one day is a family reunion coming and he's going to be the best day of his life is the day he dies. They know that. But it's still that grief that's there. And Jesus, again, himself weeps and he says, Romans chapter 12, verse 15, weep with those who weep. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with the one. Amen? That's what family is. That's what community is. That's God's call in our life. Three things we need at this time. And if you're a guest and life is going grand for you, we celebrate with you. And you know, but death is one of those deals that we, most of us, deal with. And are still in some degree of grief one way or the other for a recent loved one that's passed away. Three things. One is that relationship with God through the gospel, through trusting Christ. Number two, community. Let's grow community today. Be in there. Not saying much, just be in there for each other. And then number three, we need truth. So we encourage you to maybe re-listen to this on the internet or grab a CD, study the passages in context. We need truth, not guesses, but truth that form convictions as we meditate on that truth and talk about that truth together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for the privilege to be able to be in your presence. The privilege to reminisce, the privilege to look ahead, the privilege to picture that loved one who has trusted Christ having the best day of their lives right now. And yet, we still grieve, but we thank you that it's not in the same way as those who have no hope. Thank you for grace today. We ask for your healing power on those that are grieving, We ask for hearts to be able to weep with those who weep. We ask for the balance also to rejoice with those who are rejoicing right now. And we pray that you would grow us in love and in community today and in these days upcoming. Thank you for your eternal plan. Thank you for the cross. Amen and amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to sing together. And during this time, as we sing, if you want to join the church, if you want to have prayer in regard to anything, if you got questions about stuff, mostly the gospel, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior and Lord, or you're just not sure about how all that's done, we're available to you. We've got pastors, we've got pastors' wives and others that are here, and we will take all the time that you need to speak with you, talk with you, pray with you, cry with you, rejoice with you, give you a hug, whatever you need. We're here for you. Let's sing one verse and a chorus if we could.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea.
God bless you. God make you a blessing.